It's been a good ride. Yeah.
So what is the greatest change that you've seen in the school system here in Cooperstown since you've been a part of the school board?
Not just unique to Cooperstown, but all of the schools, the role of technology, I would say, just the great advances and how things are done, right down to the college applications and certainly the research that's done rather than library books. Everything's computer-based now. So, yeah, even in the time I've been on the board and certainly since the time I've had kids in the school system, that's been a huge change of direction. I think we've always had a good school system, and I think we still do, and I think it'll continue that way. Yeah.
What brought you to decide to join the Rotary Club in 2002?
I knew some people in the Rotary Club that I actually saw the Rotary magazine and thought it was, I was intrigued that they were doing a worldwide mission to end polio and that they were also addressing communities' concerns, you know, raising money here. So, and it's for business people. So I knew already a lot of the people in it and I thought that would be a good way to get back a little bit to the community.
Do you have a personal connection with polio?
No, but it's just, it's good to see worldwide issues being addressed on a local level. You know, people doing what they can, not just putting all of our energy here. While it's very important to address all the local issues that we can and help out where we can, I'd like to keep a little more global perspective on things as well. So.
Is there one change or one event that you helped to bring about in Cooperstown through the Rotary Club or even through the school board that you're most proud of?
Yeah, probably I would say in the school board, I think we made a very good decision when we hired our current superintendent, and I was certainly proud to be a part of the name change of it was very controversial and a difficult issue when the Redskins became the Hawkeyes. That was not a battle I would have chose to have necessarily pick, but once it became brought to the forefront by some students that, you know, this is, here we're trying to practice dignity for all students and we're teaching respect, yet here we're being told that our very name is being considered insulting by some people. It's kind of, you can't really turn around from that. You can't say, well, you know, we've had that so long that, you know, we want you to be respectful, but don't worry about that. It just couldn't do that anymore. So the difficult part was letting people in the community recognize that, yeah, I understand the heritage of the Redskins. My husband, my kids were all Redskins. I was, you know, have had no problem with it, didn't intend any harm by it. But if this is a slur, if anybody's being offended, we have to change. And so it was certainly not a perfect process in any means, by any means, but I think in the end we involved the community and did the right thing. So yeah, I can say that we're proud of maybe not the way everything happened, but the fact that our school was a leader in that happening. And now you've probably heard on the news recently that even Nike is paying teams and helping teams to change their names. And within a certain time frame, the goal is that all the teams who have names that might be a slur, like the Redskins, would be changed. So I think our school was kind of a front and center in that. So that was one example. Yeah.
What was it about that process that wasn't so perfect? That you would have liked to see changed?
Well, I don't know if there would have been any easy way to do it at all, but I probably would have liked to have had more community input earlier, would be the main thing. It was just, you know, the wheels got put in motion rather quickly before we all had, you know, but that's the way ideas go sometimes. It's just, like I said, I'm not going to dwell on the what could have been better, because I think in the end it worked out well, and I think that now the community is rallying behind the Hawkeyes, and that's a good thing. Yeah.
How long ago was that name change?
It was like 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yeah. Three years ago, I would say. Yeah, we want to look that one up.
Okay.
Time goes so fast, I lose track. So it's been interesting for me to watch how this business has changed so much, because we're increasing, growing all the time. But the last few years, since the girls decided to come back, they were away. They'd gone. Kristen got her master's from Duke, and Dana got her bachelor's from Skidmore. They finished up in the same year, and they moved out to Colorado and worked for a company called Global Explorers. And that led them, long story short, down the Amazon with high school groups, teaching some classes and living in the middle of the jungle. And when they came back from that experience, we all were in Machu Picchu, because we went to Peru to meet them, and that's kind of where the idea for Origins Cafe hatched, although we didn't know the name of it at the time. I always thought it would be interesting to have a cafe here. People, when we first started having garden furniture, people said, all you need now is someone to serve tea and lemonade, and I said, that's a great idea, but it's not going to be me. And I didn't really dream that the girls would have an interest in anything of that nature, but they, when we met them in Peru, and then they said, well, you know, we've seen things like this where there are educational centers and cafes and people are raising their food and selling it, and we'd like to do something like that in Cooperstown. I thought, I don't know. That seems, you know, I can see the lemonade and the tea thing, but, you know, you got some ideas here that I don't know if Cooperstown's ready for yet. But they came back that winter, and we immediately took down a little greenhouse and put this house that we're sitting in up, and we thought we'd put the little food truck in there, and then the rest of it would have plants, and there'd be a little corner for a cafe over there. And long story short, they've now taken both greenhouses, probably going to take a third, that the cafe is really caught on and it keeps on growing. So it's been an evolution in what we're doing too, because the girls have such an interest in the herbs and the vegetables and all that, I've gotten much more of an interest in it now too. I mean, I was always interested in it, but my tendency was to go with the flowers, and we still do a lot of combination planters and gardening for people and such, but it's very, very interesting to see how the cafe interacts with the greenhouse. Every year I go down, this past year it was 3 trips, I fly down to Florida, I get a truck, I load it up with all sorts of tropical plants, edible plants, oranges, avocados, mangoes, papayas. Still looking for that fruiting banana every year, but I haven't found it yet, so that people can see how their fruit grows. And we've had people sitting here and taking a lemon off the tree and putting it in their tea, and that's fine. You know, it's just really good for people to be able to see where the food comes from. We had cinnamon plants and pepper plants and things that you don't normally see around here. So that's nice, because it combines my interest with getting out and seeing different growing operations and getting someplace warm for a while with the edible aspect of what the cafe is teaching. So that's been a really kind of a nice thing that we've been doing probably for the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm. So does the cafe have actual educational programs that go along with it? Or
there will be more. We're planting like a food forest up on the hill. So with circles of pear trees and apple trees, there are blueberries, raspberries that we've been planting this fall. We have bees already up there. So the idea will be to have an educational center over time. Yeah. So that's more or less just in the planning phase, but we have had a couple of workshops here. Always have had workshops here. The Cooperstown school buses used to pull up, and I'd have field trips for kids, and same with Pathfinder and Springbrook. You know, we encourage that, and we like to do more of that. So it's that's a direction we're certainly looking to head in.
So it seems with these things that you're definitely combining sort of your 2 degrees in horticulture and
I guess I've always liked those things, yeah.
So do your daughters also play a part in the educational aspect?
Very much so, yeah. Okay. I would say so. They both have a strong interest in that. They both have degrees in environmental management, so I think with that comes an understanding of stewardship and, you know, just trying to, by one way or another, help to affect change. So, and as you'll see, you know, that change starts here. There, you know, they're stressing now through your food choices. You can make decisions, you can impact the world environmentally as well as socially, you know, as far as local farmers and such. So while we try to keep a global perspective as far as showing where all these plants are, you know, they're going around to different parts of the world every year to learn some more stuff, still, they're trying to boost the local economy by dealing with the local cheeses, the local fruits, vegetables, and or everything organic as much as possible also, just because it all makes sense in the bigger picture. So
how quickly have the educational programs that have stemmed from Origins Cafe caught on in Cooperstown?
We're doing quite a few. We've been asked to do quite a few speaking engagements. We've always had garden clubs coming here, and I'd say there are more probably of those than ever. I go out and do talks. People come here and have talks. And, you know, you have to have the balance. I mean, you can't just stop making your paninis and run and do a class. So it's, you know, there's a balance. And, you know, they're still... So right now the focus is still on getting as good as we can possibly be with what we're doing already. With just, so I would like to think, if I had a crystal ball into the future, that the education programs would be a lot more important part of our time spent in the future. But right now, we're still, you know, getting our feet underneath us in a way, because we just finished season 4 for the cafe, and every year we're growing and learning, and And we have a lot of landscaping that we do and landscape clients. And last year, Brent was down. He has cancer, and so he was having chemo. So, you know, we don't want to get spread too thin in too many directions so we can't do a good job of what we're committed to doing. So as we can, we'll continue to expand the education programs. So we were just talking with the health department about the idea of having a kitchen classroom so that kids can kind of, you know, go to the garden, grab some food, learn how to cut it, process it. We've tried to do programs like that in conjunction with the food pantry also, so that, and they've gone to the school to have the idea of a disco soup where the kid garden is already implementing this kind of a thing, which is a great program, by the way, that my daughters are a little bit involved in, but the growing community members have really done a great job with as far as education and food. So they want to get involved in more and more stuff like that. That's really their dream and their mission. Right now, they're doing it through food, and that'll continue. But, yeah, we'll look for more workshops and educational opportunities in the future.
So do you hire on any sort of, part-time staff during the season to help you with this?
Or? Yeah, and also interns. That's a direction that we would like to go in, as we've become more of an educational center, because then we could have help with the signage and things that we would like to do now and just aren't getting to. So I'd like to contact the colleges and the high school. The girls are happy with working with the high school students because they're local already. And, you know, that seems to be some interest. So, and they're also involved in something called the Woofing Network, Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. And that's how they travel. When they go places, they work in exchange for room and board, and so we have people that come here and work in exchange for room and board. So that works nicely because, again, it gives us some extra manpower to help get things done, and that really should be an educationally based thing. So for them, they like to help transplant and do things like that. So, you know, there's so many different aspects here. I don't think anybody ever gets bored, but. We're doing now in the front yard here, Mandela Garden, so that we'll have a section for pollinator plants, another section, you know, just kind of making, everything's for sale out there, but if we can present it in a way that's also educational, I think that kind of is where we're trying to focus.
And what is a Mandela Garden?
Oh, well, we just call it that. I don't know if there is such an official thing, but the whole thing is round, like a Mandela that has paths going into the middle, and there'll be a fountain in the center. So it'd be a nice, quiet place to sit, but also a practical place to walk around and see the plants. And Again, we really need to work on our signage just to get information, because we can't talk necessarily to everybody here at the same time, but if you've got good descriptions of what's going on, you'd like to make it an interesting place to be. So,
how much of these sorts of things, like the signage and working on the educational programs and that sort of planning, happens during the off-season, or is it sort of more focused in the on-season?
More of it could probably happen in the off-season if the girls were here, but they're not. They're out learning stuff and doing things and exploring, and I fully encourage that, because now's the time. I mean, as I sit here with my broken kneecap, I can't go off exploring this winter, so yeah, I'll probably be making some signs. But I would rather be going to Chile to see what Dana's doing, or to Vietnam to see what Kristen's doing. So, yeah, there's a balance there. And I also have a grandson, so I'll be spending time this winter visiting with my son and his wife and my grandson in Virginia. So, so the winter seems like it's so long and that you should be able to get everything done, but the season is so fast in the summertime, and it really extends right up until the ground freezes. Then there's the Christmas season. January is a month off, which is fantastic. Halfway through February, we're starting the greenhouses again. So winter boils down to about a month and a half, and there are always house projects and other things to catch up with, too. So, and some visiting, and my mom lives here on the premises, so I like to spend some time with her. So the winter, you would think that this would be a very long winter for us, but it isn't. It really goes very quickly. So,
so that intern program that you were talking about, do you think that that would be something that you would want to implement in that sort of month and a half of winter off?
Having people here then? I haven't really thought about that, because that's a difficult time for, I guess you could have college students off at that time, but I see the internship thing much more valuable to the person who's being an intern if it's happening during the main season, when there's so much growth. There are so many different things going on that you could plug into. Because to sit in the house with me and make signs, that wouldn't be an interesting internship necessarily to me. You know, I mean, so that's something I would have to give some thought to. There might be a way to do that. On the other hand, like I said, that month and a half is my one little window of freedom in the course of the winter, so I like to keep my options open. And sometime when I'm not laid up with a broken bone, I will go chasing after the girls again and finding interesting places, and or visiting the family in Holland or something like that. So I like to save January sort of a break time.
So you said that your daughters have kind of taken over a couple of the greenhouses.
Oh, yeah.
With the food plants for Origins Cafe. Are there any plans to build more greenhouses to kind of make up space?
We have a lot of greenhouses. I think it will be a matter of more shifting what's grown. I don't want to get any bigger as far as growing plants. It's a lot of work. I love it. And I've been very fortunate to have excellent help. But I also recognize that, you know, less can be more, too. Right now we have enough space for everything that we want to do, and it's hard enough to keep this managed. Not only that, but we're living on a hillside here, so we're pretty well utilized all of our good open space. So the girls may have other ideas, but for me, I'm happy with the size we're at, and I just want to continue doing a good job with what we've got, as opposed to continuing to add more space. We're just changing the use of the space. Like I said, that house is where we start our plants, and then later in the season, the tables go out, the plants go out, you know, tropicals go in, and the cafe and the herbs are all part of the cafe. So it's just a matter of reallocating the space.
So you definitely seem to have a lot going on.
<Couple things. laughs>
Not short of things to do.
No.
How do you see what you're doing now being impactful in the community?
More with the girls, their mission, which I've somewhat adopted than my own, I think they're really on a good track with trying to encourage people to maybe grow some of their own food, or at least support those who are, so that our, which only makes sense to keep money in the community. I think the outreach programs that they are to, you know, kind of encourage kids to think about what they're doing and the implications of what they're doing as far as food and various things. It's, I think that's, that affects positive change. The feedback we get from people. I think actually the simplest change is that the cafe is just a happy space to be in. I mean, when it's in full bloom, and people often tell us they just want to come and they just relax. They feel better when they leave than when they came. To me, that's a good enough mission, really, to, you know, if you can help people's lives on a small basis like that, just, you know, giving them a nice place to visit with somebody that they might not go out to visit or something, you know, just, there are just so many different levels you can look at it on. But even on a personal level, I think that it's just worked out that way, that people seem to really enjoy coming here, and the girls make good food, that's a bonus. But, you know, they just enjoy the peaceful setting that the plants offer. And, yeah, so if we can teach some things and make a living at the same time, that's all good.
Does the work that the girls do with Origins Cafe and the growing of the food, does that ever cross paths with the farmer's market that goes
on? Oh, all the time.
All the time?
All the time. They go to this farmer's market every Saturday and Tuesday, and that's, they base their menu based on what's being offered at the farmer's market, you know, whatever is in season. So that's a huge part of, you know, just keeping in touch with the farmers. Every year, too, we have a farmer dinner, so all the farmers that have been supporting, that we've been buying from during the year, and, you know, it's kind of funny sometimes, a steady parade of farmers coming and dropping off piles of food here and there, and so they have a special dinner where they have time to talk about what they're doing and that sort of thing. So just to give the focus and some credit to the people who are growing the food, I think is a nice thing. I'm not sure if I wandered from your question on that one, but yeah. So, yeah, it's been an interesting merging of interests, and I just, we couldn't be happier the direction things are going. It really has been nice. We're switching, we'll be making this into a LLC, so that the girls are actually going to be partners of the business, and I think that's good for planning for the future. So, like to see it keep going.
Does that farmers dinner at all? Is it just the farmers that they've been working with, or does that include other community members?
Oh, anybody from the community too is welcome. Yeah, no, they definitely encourage people to come over. Yeah.
Okay. So, kind of in the broader sense, because you're obviously very involved in the community, and your daughters are very involved in the community. What is the greatest change that you've witnessed or been a part of in Cooperstown as a whole since you've moved here?
That's a good question. Well, I would have to say, since I moved here, the nature of Main Street, moving away from a lot of the little stores, several hardware stores on Main Street that I remember when I came here. We were fortunate to still have the general store, but there used to be Farm and Home. There used to be a lot of different places in town that you could get what you need other than baseball cards and memorabilia. So that's the main. That's a big thing right there. Other than that, I don't know that I find that it's changed that much, which I say is a good thing. I think that it's still a close-knit community. I think people are still really involved in the school and what their kids are doing. It'd be awesome if more kids had opportunities for jobs to stay in the neighborhood. I mean, my son's an engineer. I'd love it if there was something he could do around here. It would be very nice to not lose a lot of our bright kids to other areas where they can make a living. But I guess the other changes are just more things of what I've become more aware of, all the many opportunities that there are to do around here. You know, every time you turn around, there's something else interesting to do here. I think that's always been the case, and I just wasn't paying attention. So, yeah, not other than that, I'm not more tourists than ever. Yeah, I think that changes Main Street. Most of the changes that I see are related to the business world downtown, yes.
Mm-hmm. Does the increased tourism affect your business here at Carefree Gardens and Origins?
I would think pretty indirectly, because the Dreams Park business, that's not a huge part of our business by any means. I mean, we do get families that are looking for a respite from Main Street, so they find us, and that's nice. Landscaping-wise, most of our people are taking care of their own homes. They're not just fixing it up for Dreams Park or something like that. So I don't think that the Dreams Park phenomenon in town makes much of a difference to us. But on the other hand, it's bringing tourists to town in general, so if the people in town are doing better, they're going to spend more money on leisurely things like landscaping and flowers. And in general terms, all the tourists coming to town are certainly good for a cafe off the trail like Origins Cafe is. So, yeah, I have to say that, yes, the tourists indirectly help us quite a bit by helping our neighbors.
Do you think that the change in the nature of Main Street has been beneficial to Cooperstown, or do you have any other thoughts on that change that you've witnessed?
Well, I think the infrastructure that's changed is, you know, with the grant that we got to fix everything up, that's been great. That's very nice. It's so hard to for a business to start and succeed. Ellsworth and Sill, they're doing it, but I honestly don't go down there enough to support them. Well, here I am saying, yeah, we should have all these little stores. Realistically, I don't go shopping a lot. I do a lot of my shopping on the internet. So it's wrong to say, yeah, we should have more little shops and then not support them. I go downtown as much as I can to Tins and Mins and the various different stores and do what I can. But I would think it would be nice if we had a little more diversity in the shops that, Saratoga, for example, is a much bigger scale, but there's a lot of different varieties of things you'll find there. And, I can think of many examples of good shops we have in town, but a lot of the feedback that I hear is that there's nothing but baseball stores there. So that's probably some truth to that. But I think part of it's just the nature of it. It's hard to keep small businesses going in a small town, and you have your parking restrictions downtown and everything else. So no great suggestions on how we can fix Main Street, no. I think it's pretty good. Okay. And I think the mayor's been doing a great job.
Well, this has been a wonderful conversation.
Oh, thanks. Hope I didn't talk too much.
Oh, no, it was great. And I loved getting to hear your stories.
Thank you.
And
thanks.
I think that everyone's going to benefit from this.
Well, thank you so much. Well, if anything's...